Today on Real Radio.
God help us to stop being so self-righteous. We're so concerned about being right that we become dead right. And we become right to our own little social directions or whatever it is, while people around you, even perhaps here, are bleeding and they need you to love them. A Christian is someone who not only lives a life that is a life that's preaching the Word of God, but a Christian encourages people.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at verses 19 through 26 of chapter 11. It's the part of this narrative that tells us of the transition where Messianic Judaism spreads into the Gentile communities. It is also the very first time the term Christian is used, and it's not necessarily a favorable term. It also provides valuable insight that helps us answer the question that serves as the title of this study. Who is a Christian? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
God sends Christians into the dumps of the world. What if all the Christians packed up and moved out of L.A.? You think it's bad now? Just wait. What if all the Christians packed up and moved out of Ontario or Chino Hills? You haven't seen any evil yet. What we're supposed to do is go into those places and change those places by the grace of God. But we've got this escape mentality, don't we? I confess, I've got it. Every time I head out of the county, I'm going, ooh, ooh, I want to move there. Oh, I want to move there. Oh, look at that. You know, you can breathe. But anybody can be a Christian in paradise. God sends the church to places where there is sin. The scripture says, Paul told us in Romans 5:20, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. That verse was brought home this week as a pastor in Florida asked me. He pastors a Calvary Chapel in Florida. He said, how do you guys, what's the story? The Calvary Chapels and churches in California are just huge. Well, we have superior ministry technique. No, I didn't say that. I pat him on the back and I said, what's the matter, brother? Isn't the Holy Spirit out of your church? No, I didn't say that either. Don't you teach the Word of God, man? No, I said, you know what? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. There are many believers being added to the Church of Antioch. It's growing. It's going to become the largest church in the New Testament Christianity for its time, where sin is huge and rampant. That's encouraging. God help us to be the people that He's created us to be. Light and salt in the world, people who make a difference, not run away. I had a brother share with me after first service. He said, you know what, I'm glad you said what you said, because our community's getting inundated with graffiti. And I wanted to move out of town. I love my home. I love everything. But I wanted to get out of there. What do I do? I go out there and change the graffiti. Paint it over. Call the city. Get on the horn. Praise the Lord, city of Chino Hills. They got on the horn. They drove the city nuts. You won't see graffiti up there longer than 24 hours. Because the community won't stand for it. And in your own home or in your neighborhood, start praying. Start doing. Don't run out of town. Evil will get worse. It's very important we realize that. These guys were fleeing to a terrible place. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, or was upon them. The hand of the Lord speaks of the power of God was in their lives. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And I want to hit this terminology here because we miss it in the English. The word in verse 21, believed and turned, we see it as two words. In the Greek, it's not that way. When the word was written in its original language, it's one word. It means to, in believing, you're turning. It's one action. Example, if I were to take a branding iron from a fire that says, Joe's Ranch on it, and I put that to your back, you would move quick. Very fast you would move. Why? Because you got burned. What caused you to move? The pain of being burned. You see, you could have had the pain of being burned and still stood there. Are you with me? But the pain of being burned caused you to move. Everybody with me? Everybody okay? Here's the deal. The word in the Greek means the moment they believed, it resulted in a spontaneous turning. Well, I want to ask a question. Turn from what? What did they turn from? Well, for starters, Daphne, for one thing. The worship of her. The immorality. The drunkenness. And all of the immorality that was there in Antioch. You mean the Bible's got that much power? As my child would eloquently say, duh. You bet. The Word of God is, look, the Word of God is so powerful. Don't let our weakness and our disobedience in applying the Word of God somehow translate over to, well, the Bible must be weak. Oh, no, the Bible's not weak. I'm weak and you're weak. The Bible's not weak. When I goof up, it's because I'm not walking in the Word of God. That's why. The Word changed them. The Bible, when they heard it, branded them. And when it branded them, they jumped out of the direction that they were going. They turned. So when they believed, they turned. Let me ask you, do you believe? According to that Gallup poll, it's pretty spooky. 86% of Americans believe, but less than 10% are walking with God. Something's wrong here. What's going on? You see, you can believe in God. You can believe that Jesus Christ existed and exists. You can believe that He's the Son of God. But unless you believe in Him in such a way that causes you to turn, then you're no good than Richard Ramirez or Charlie Manson. You're lost. You're absolutely lost because you, though even believing, your life has not changed. And we need to change. But to be a Christian is to have that happen simultaneously. You believe, and in believing, the word means you turn. By the way, that's the same meaning of the word repent or conversion. Same meaning. Basically the same meaning. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, you can jot that down in your reference or on your margin. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you that unless you are converted," that is, believe and turn, "and become as a little child, you will by no means enter heaven." Jesus said that. Very, very important. And so we need to be a people. We need to be a people who are preaching because there are those around us who need the Word of God, and we need to be the people who have actually responded to the very preaching of the Bible, that it's Jesus. It's not the church. It's not membership in this church. If you are visiting this church, and some of you are for the first time, and you decide to come back, I want to warn you up front, we don't have a membership. There's no membership in the Bible. We don't take sign-ups. You don't have to answer 500 questions. You don't have to, pronounce the Calvary Chapel Creed. There isn't one. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that you, by the Holy Spirit, when you believe, are brought in. You are baptized as a member into the body of Jesus Christ. There's only one church. It's global. It's worldwide. You want to be a member of this church? Then receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. You're a member. Isn't that great? That's how it is. The second point, who is a Christian, is found in verses 22 to 24, and that is one who encourages, one who is prone to encourage. Now, I mean, if you were to write down the list of the top five things needed in the church today, of course, love would be at the top, but don't you think that encouragement's got to be like a close second? When was the last time you were encouraged? When was the last time somebody put their arm around you or tapped you on the back and said, "Hey, keep going, brother"? Let me put it to you this way. When's the last time you fell down spiritually and somebody put their arm around you and said, "Hey, you know what? I know what it's like to fall down, man. Let me help you up. Is there anything I can pray for you for? Is there anything? Because I know how rough it is." Walter Martin, the great founder of Christian Research Institute in heaven now. Walter Martin said, us Christians are the only ones who shoot their own wounded. A Christian falls down because of immorality or something going on, and the church shoots them, condemns them. Well, how did Jesus handle it? He restores them in a spirit of grace and of meekness. God help us to stop being so self-righteous. We're so concerned about being right that we become dead right. And we become right to our own little social directions or whatever it is, while people around you, even perhaps here, are bleeding and they need you to love them. A Christian is someone who not only lives a life that is a life that's preaching the Word of God, but a Christian encourages people. You know, I have the awesome, blessed event of going to hospitals or calling you up when something's wrong, and we'll pray together, and you go, man, the Word of God's great. Thank you for calling. You know what? I can make it. I can really make it. And I always leave them with the same word. Well, you know what? Praise the Lord, brother or sister. If and when I fall, do the same to me. That's my response. It's automatic. That's the way I respond. When I fall, you pray for me. Because the church steps back with its bazooka and bazookas people. And that's unfortunate. Not Barnabas. Look at this guy. Verse 22, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. That's the mother church. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. That's great. Barney, what an awesome guy. First of all, he was from Cyprus. Acts chapter 4 says so. Smart move. There's guys getting converted. They're from Cyprus. But Barnabas, remember what his name was in Acts in the early chapters? His name's Joseph. It's not Barnabas. The church named him Barnabas. It means son of encouragement. How'd you like to hang around a guy like that? Hi, Barney. Hey, how you doing, man? Look like you're doing good. Praise the Lord. Keep going in the faith, brother. Let's call him Barney. What a guy. Barnabas. What a neat guy. We're not going to call you Joseph anymore. That's a good name. We're going to call you Barnabas from now on. You're really something. Everywhere he went, you can make it. You can do it. Sign up to be in a ministry or come to do the street outreach or to do the homeless outreach or to go to Russia. Oh, I don't think I can do it. Oh, no, you can do it. You can do it. God is in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's in you, man. You can make it. Isn't that good news? When's the last time you heard that? We need that. I can't talk to some 900 adults by the time this day is over all by myself. You've got to do it. Encourage them. Barnabas encouraged people. You'll make it, man. All right. And listen, we need to understand encouragement. We've got this wimpy idea of encouragement of just, you know, patting somebody on the back and have a nice day. And, you know, and you just like, you know, go over there and fall into a ditch. And he goes, well, try again. Barnabas was a man and he was a Christian and he was encouraging. And we'll see in a moment that encouragement also, by the way, the word in the Greek in your Old King James Bible has it correctly rendered, exhort. You know what exhort means? It means to draw close with the intentions to kick in the fanny. It means to push people on. Exhort means to give them a kick. Barnabas was encouraging and loving and warm, and he'd give you a swift kick, man, to remind you, as we'll see in a moment, to continue with the Lord. Now, I grew up at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. It's the only church I've ever known. And Pastor Chuck makes it a point that a guy by the name of Romaine has the gift of exhortation. And if you know who I'm talking about, you'll be walking down the street and you'll go, or the church, and you go, Romaine, I was thinking, don't do that, man. Read the Bible, keep your head out of the clouds, and be in the Word. Watch yourself. Okay, all right. Pastor Romaine, how come? Don't ask questions, pray and seek the Lord's face. Read your Bible, then you know why. Okay, all right. Gee. Romaine, I'm having trouble. Take it to the Lord, pray, seek His face. He'll heal it. He'll do it. All right. That's the gift of exhortation, man. He gives you a kick. And he always points you to the Bible. Watch this. Watch Barnabas. Verse 23, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. You would throw me out of this church if I were to physically act out what the Greek words here mean. When he saw the grace of God, how do you see the grace of God? Can you see love? Oh, look, there goes some love. There goes some grace. Look, grab it. It's going away. You can't see it, or can you? You see it in the people. You see it in the church. You walk in a church, and you walk out of a church, and you get certain vibes, we call them. You either sense grace and love, or you sense legalism and a critical spirit. And when you're church hopping, God help you. God bless you in your church search. It's so difficult, but you need to be prayed up when you go looking for a church. You better be praying because God's going to speak to you. You better be listening. Barnabas shows up and he sees all this grace going all over the place on everybody. Everybody's saying, man, you can make it. Love your brother. Continue, sister in the faith. Right on, let's go. All right. Barnabas walks in and the word, he was glad. All I can, remember when David Hawking was here at that time and he did that crazy dance on the stage? Remember that? And he almost fell through the stage. When he was expressing what God's going to do about us when we get to heaven, he's going to sing around and dance about us with joy. That's the same thing here, gladness. Barnabas gets off his donkey, parks the thing, gets over there, walks in. He sees grace. He walks into the church, he sees the grace, and he goes, whoa! Look at this place! That's what the Greek word means. He freaked out. That's a Greek word, freak out. He just went nuts. He saw the grace of God and he was bummed out and just bummed because they didn't have it in Jerusalem. No, he was glad. So what happened? Look, he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, verse 23. He exhorted them. He gave them a little swift kick right between the rear end there to say, listen here, buddy, you better continue with the Lord. You know what he's done to you? He has saved you. He took you out of that worship of Daphne and all of that pagan trash. He set your foot upon a rock. He has sealed you with the Holy Spirit, and you better continue with the Lord. And I love that. By the way, if you're a Christian struggling this morning and you've been backslidden or whatever, I want you to know that you're saved and you're going to heaven. Because you backslide doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. You just need to be exhorted and encouraged to come back home. You need to walk with him. Get right. Come back. Get right. You need to be exhorted, encouraged. You're going to make it. But listen, the Bible says it's through tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. There's going to be pain in this life. Even though you're a Christian, there's going to be pain. But you're going to make it. You got to continue in with the Lord. You got to abide in him. Stay in the word of God. Stay in fellowship. Stay in prayer. But if you're backslidden today, you know what's going on? You know that feeling you've got right now? Isn't it a terrible feeling? It says that he continued them. He told them to continue with a whole heart, purpose it in his heart. Why did he say that? Why did he say purpose it in his heart, in their hearts? You don't want to know why? Because when you're backslidden or when you're walking right, it doesn't matter. The struggle's the same. You've got a battle in your mind and you've got a battle in your heart. Let me ask you. When Jesus Christ gave you eternal life, what does the Bible say about your heart? The Bible says you got a brand new heart. The day you were saved, the Holy Spirit came in, threw out your heart, put a new heart in. Well, what does the Bible say about your mind? What happened to your mind? We still have our mind, same mind. That's why the Bible says we have to be in the Word of God to renew our mind daily. We have to be brainwashed in our mind with the Word of God so that we can start thinking right. But you've got a new heart. That new heart with the old mind generates a tremendous battle in your life. You know why you're struggling? Or do you know why you and I are feeling that war with temptation? Because you have a new heart, but the mind is under a constant pull. When Barnabas exhorted them to continue with a whole heart, he was saying, I want you to commit it to your heart to follow Christ, not with your mind, because it vacillates, it's weak, and you have a new heart. See, your mind says, oh, look over here. Your mind says, let's watch this. Your mind says, I'll think about that. And your heart says, no, follow Christ. No, don't do that. You've got that struggle inside because it's a heart and a mind battleground. Satan's pulling on your head. God's pulling on your heart. Satan pulls on your head. God pulls on your heart. and you're caught right in the middle. So Barnabas exhorts them that with all purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. This word purpose means to set a firm path. To set a firm path, the heart, in continuing with the Lord. That's good news. By the way, in the way of exhortation, the entire book of James is a great book that's a definition of exhortation. And sad to say that the church, by and large in America, has gotten so sleepy and so spiritually dead and dull that when somebody does rebuke somebody in the church or exhort them to get right, people get their feelings hurt and they wind up going to some place that's all watered down and weak because their feelings got hurt. My feelings got hurt. I'm not going back anymore because, you know, he told me to read the Bible or else I was just going to fall along the wayside. Well, isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 13? And people don't like to hear. I told you there's stuff in here that offend people. If you don't read your Bible, you're going to eat it. Not the Bible. You're going to eat dirt. You're going to eat the earth. You're going to crash and burn. You got to stay in the Bible. You got to stay in fellowship. You can't be some, you know, Star Trek Christian out there, you know, bouncing off the heavens all by yourself. You got to have fellowship. I didn't write the book. It's part of the spiritual life. You got to have it. You got to have prayer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Who is a Christian? It's a look at verses 19 through 26 of Acts chapter 11, the part of this narrative that speaks of the transition where Messianic Judaism spreads into the Gentile communities. We'll continue with more of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. The book of Acts is usually categorized as historical narrative. In other words, it isn't an apocalyptic work or a written letter like the Pauline epistles or numbered prayers like Psalms. Instead, it lays out a brief history of what took place in the Middle East. Well, even to this day, the Middle East is no stranger to religious, political, and geographical controversy, and Scripture tells us how the ages will culminate in that part of the world. So in January, we're hosting the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference. It's a 3-day event, the 11th, 12th, and 13th. In fact, just visit SoCalProphecyConference.com and you'll see a brief video presentation by Pastor Jack where he tells us about all 8 speakers. Plus, you'll learn about registration, local accommodations, and one thing to remember, this part of the country is easy to get to. Now, it is a ticketed event, just $25, and Pastor Jack, some have made the decision to attend, yet they haven't taken care of the necessary details. Yeah.
If you're planning on joining us for this conference, you can go to our website for more of the exact details on where you can stay and some of the things that are near the church. And also keep this in mind that we are really, really strategically located in the sense that not too far from us at all. We have John Wayne Airport in Orange County. We have Los Angeles International, obviously, that's close by. We have Ontario Airport, which is also an international airport now, and then Long Beach Airport. All of these airports are under 1 hour from the church location, and some of them a matter of minutes. So it's very, very convenient. Look us up online. Take a look at the locations and what's available to you. It's very, very user-friendly, and so is this venue. I think you're going to find it very comfortable to attend this conference.
Okay, well, that's SoCalProphecyConference.com. SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.